and on the Islam side, one of the first things we have done is to go to the credit rating agencies and say, what are the 10 things that we must do to get out of the junk status that we are in at the moment? And the utility, the electricity and utility, of course, is one of the largest in the world. And I'm not a big, you know, I don't think large is good. Because I constantly think, why is the world not going large? So when people say Medupi and Kusile is of two of the five largest power stations being built in the world, I keep on thinking, yeah, why is this the world not building such big power stations? So part of what we need to do is to create the kind of institutional mechanisms that will move our state-owned companies into a higher level of output. There are many, many challenges. In fact, somebody said as I was coming in, you now have grey hair as well. I've never had grey hair. I have grey after 12 months. And because the challenges are quite enormous, because these are such huge tankers that you've got to turn around. Eskom has 43,000 workers. And it's that whole tank that you've got to turn around from a particular policy move to another one. Chair, it also gives us lots of opportunity, I suppose, when you are in a position where you have to change the way you think through stuff. We've done the shareholder agreement. We've sent back two or three times to Eskom and said, no, the shareholder capital compact, we sent back two or three times to say, no, you can't operate as if nothing has happened. You've got to operate within the mold that we are now working. We have huge challenges, and your agreement with me must be part of it, must be addressing those challenges. So I'm hoping that the portfolio committee will look at the shareholders' compact as well. The ADG will take you through the report. I've kind of covered the two slides already, but I think the rest of the report actually makes it quite interesting reading. Because we've been charged with another responsibility, which I think this NCFP portfolio committee would be very interested in. It is the fact that we wanted to move towards a shareholder management bill. And of course the provinces are represented here. It's going to be quite important that you participate actively in the bill. I'm also hoping that we change some ways. In some ways, we change a bit of how we do the work. Since you are all in your own, you also represent provinces here, that I get a sense of who's in the province so that you're invited to the stuff that you do in your province, so that you have a direct responsibility. I'm going to be in Sultana on the 29th, for example, and that's where I will invite Honorable Labus Kahni, and of course I invite the whole committee, but particularly the person who's responsible in that point. Because the Honorable Labus Kahni and I, both being from the Western Cape, we, for example, know that there was a death of children and the chair. there was a death at the train sideline, and 14 children or a couple of children were killed at the... Now that's something that stays in the back of my head. And I'm asking portfolio committee members, the issue in your provinces that are issues that we must fix because it's harmful to the people who live in it. Those are things, and we haven't done it yet, Kathy, so it's something that we might want to collectively do, because somebody's in prison for having driven that taxi, and somebody's, and parents are mourning the passing of their children. Now that happens, and we have one, we put one in the Northwest as well. But I think it's something that we must be looking at a lot more closer. Those are just small things, but I think they're quite important in our communities. Thank you very much, Jay.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. I think the committee is very happy to have you here, because I think there will be maybe time, a couple, I will now, before she oversees small questions to the Minister before she goes to leave.
Thank you very much. The Minister is going to be with us until the, or maybe she'll be leaving. But just a point of clarification. Minister, you mentioned something about the workers in Eskom. I don't know whether I said 300 employed or 300 being dismissed.
3,000 employed in Eskom.
Good, thank you.
Is there any other questions?
Thank you, Jason. Honourable Minister, talking about issues that influence communities, I was thinking this specific week, driving over a train or railway, and it was stagnant for all the years, and now I saw them cleaned it, so I assume this train is coming on it. I was just thinking at the time. Because the railway system were underutilized, although the infrastructure was there, people tend to assume that there's no train coming there. So I'm just concerned specifically on that, and having maybe some specific warning signs where there's crossovers on that to let the communities know, listen, this is now a live line, in fact.
Thank you.
Thank you for reminding me, Chairperson. Sorry. It is. I did send a message to the minister, but she said it is under Minister of Finance. It was specifically on where you passed through the searching was, you know, where you put through, where the queues were so long that people stood out at SAA about 100 meters on both sides into the main hall, and only a few of the gates were actually open. So I just wanted to know, how do they actually check, you know, isn't there some queue control system or whatever? To make sure, because I mean, people will miss their flights because they won't be able to go through the gate in time on that.
Okay. Nyambi, you want to ask? Can we move over to the presentation?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Can we allow the minister, or under what time will you be
soon? Of course.
Do you want to respond now?
I'll just respond quickly. Yes, I mean, there must be clear signs of crossing. In fact, Mansi will, at the end of her presentation, do a quick briefing on the branch lines that we are involved in at the moment with the department. If there is in finance, I serve on the IMC. I've experienced this problem as well. In fact, and of course, I will raise it at the IMC so that there's a better discussion around it. But the bigger discussion, Chair, is the fact that this portfolio committee looks after public enterprise, and finance has SAA. We must find it different, because you look after the state-owned companies. In the economic sectors, and we will look at a different way of reporting into this committee from SAA, because I think that will give you a direct access as well.
Minister, I think we are going to allow the department to proceed with the taxation. We are now appointing police.
Thank you, Chair. I think yes, we can be approved to talk to point three with them in Minister's presence. Because what we do normally with portfolio is we take both of the members of the select committee and the portfolio committee to a few days where we engage one about the plans of the department going forward, but also to take parliamentarians through our oversight of the department, because we believe that we dovetail one another and we share the challenges. We also share how we intend to improve on the performance of the state-owned companies. One of the issues is that there's a lot of information in the public domain, and most of it is not accurate. So we believe if we engage like that, we afford the members an opportunity to tease the manner we should do over oversight, and also to bring information that we cannot even access ourselves because you interact with the people directly. And so those sessions are meant that we break it down in a number of themes. And then we also present strategic issues relating to each state-owned company. So Khalid and the team in the department, they are working on a program, and we intended to finalize it. They've already done, we'll be submitting it to Minister, so that you have it at least way before the date, and then you prepare the questions that you also want us to take into account. But we also invite industry experts. For example, this time we will be inviting we have a committee that we created, a little body, to deal with issues of competitive supplier development and industrialization and localization. And this, I think, is going to be important also from the point of we have a new department of small business, and we think state-owned companies can play a critical role to catalyze the environment for small business. So we have partnered with Minister Zulu, we signed an MOU with her department, so we will be also bringing in the elements of how we believe that the portfolio can support small businesses. And then in closing, we would deal with issues of the day ahead. And what would be advantageous, they say, that because we have the session now on our APP, so that as we come to present to the committee in future, you are able to hold us to task on the basis of our APP, on the basis of corporate plans and shareholder compact from the state-owned companies, and what we agreed in those few days there.
Information. The reason why we were putting this on the agenda was that the members can understand the very importance of attending this program, the workshop, because I can understand sometimes we come here, ask questions that is not relevant for the committee to answer, so that we can understand how the SOE is working. Thank you very much. It will be useful to answer the information of the workshops. Honorable
Thanks, Chair. We appreciate and we're happy that you have decided to put it to an AGM. But my humble request to the department is that at all times we want to organize it, because already it has been sent to us, a conference of the program, already second on the 19th, it's already come, it's on the 28th of June. And many times, if you look at the program, it's more about something that has been made for the portfolio committee in the NA. So the select committee is the by-the-way process, and the program is reflecting that, and that should be attended to and be corrected, because if you organize the program of this nature, you have to have it in a way that will indicate that you are showing that Honorable Letsatsi Tuba and the chairperson, they're just the same, each other, the other one is the chairperson of the portfolio committee, this one is the chairperson of the select committee. And if you have to give responsibilities, it must make sure that you take into cognizance that you have a select committee coming and they are going to be part of the program. So that's the only issue that I feel that it has to be attended to, so that it can show that the select committee has a role. It's not a by-the-way process. Even if it's there or it's not there, you can still go over the program.
Thank you.
That's my only submission. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nyambi. I think it's a very fair point, because most of the time the members are being reject. The department is not taking the select committee seriously. And we do play a very important role, because we have oversight of the, according to me, the implementation of the program. To see whether the implementation is taking place, the program that you're putting in the provinces, just make sure that it's working and it's taking place. And we need to play our oversight. But sometimes in all, we notice that the department is not concentrating on the provincial interest. And that's why we want, even in your presentation, you must reflect the interest of the provinces, the program that you are showing. We can be able to play our oversight role in our province. Thank you very much for that. Can we then hand over to you for the next presentation?
Workshop. It might be useful if you were to let us know what the issues are. For example, what are the areas of interest? Because we are going to do the overriding stuff. For example, the NA has an interest in the shareholder management bill. I think the shareholder management bill is of greater interest here than it should be at the NA. Because it actually, the feel of what happens with the state-owned companies is felt in the provinces. So that's the one issue that I think is very important. And so I'd like this thing to be quite a participated discussion, because you must also remember we have other shareholders who are business, unions, organized civil society, who have big interest in what this portfolio does. Because A, they either make money from us, or B, we make them angry because we are environmentally insensitive, and C, it's a portfolio that, remember, we sit on assets of 755 billion rand. Just in one stable company, we procure about 250 billion a year. So it's big. So tell us specifically what the areas of interest are. Besides the overriding stuff, also talk to us about the interest that you have in your province, because what we do is we should really be talking to you first and then go and talk to premiers, because we do it the other way around. We talk to the premiers and we don't talk to you. It's like when I must make my speech in the portfolio in the NCOP, the chaps are just saying to me, oh no, we just do a shortened version of the NA speech. So, but how important is it to you that I just do a shortened version of my speech in the NA? It's not. Because you represent your provinces. I have the added advantage, Chair, of having been in the opposition for a long, long time. And I know that you cut out the NCOP quite quickly because you report to the NA. You might want to have a discussion on privatization, because it's quite an important discussion in your province. Or private participation, because that all goes into the shareholder bill. And that, I mean, even something that you could conduct in your provinces and ask me to come and report to your community in that, that's how it must be a lot more. Otherwise, I will make the decision that I must go to Saldana every week. And meanwhile, Honorable Labuskagne thinks I should be actually going to somewhere else. You know, or the state-owned companies, they decide that that's where they're going to go. Meanwhile, the real issue is somewhere else. And that's an important engagement. Because I think it will help us. strengthen our democracy, build an economy in our communities, deal with issues of immigration, all of that, if we get it right here.
Thank you, Chair. And we welcome that input. As a matter of fact, Radit will correct me. We're planning for the schools, the learning program to be a joint. Yeah, to be a joint presentation because we believe that at least they also have all the dynamic ideas together. But I think where we've had a blind spot is to present our provincial engagement site to the committee as well, because this is the main activities that we do in provinces, especially in the Mpumalanga, where we use entities such as the South Cole and the Northern Cape and Alexandria. And then with the period of time, what we would want is also to share, we have a program and we're working on the handing over of the township in Alexandra Bay. And I think it marks the landmark for that settlement, the land claim. So I think those are the things that we can also enhance in terms of sharing with the community. I think the Minister has given a broad overview, but I think on slide 4, my takeaway and what I would like the committee maybe to recognize is that because we operated in an environment that has been very challenging, and I recall when the Minister first joined, we sat with Minister's the senior leadership of the department, and we equated Minister to a firefighter because we saw her as someone who's always having a fire extinguisher in her hand. And we had to ask ourselves, why should it be like this? Because if it was not a crisis at SAA, there would be a crisis at ESCOM. If it was not an issue at ESCOM, there would be an issue at SAS, and there would be an issue at Alex. So we're saying, but Minister is like somebody who's sitting just waiting for a fire somewhere. So our strategy is pretty much on the recognition that we have challenges that exist in the portfolio, but we need to propose a phased approach in addressing them. Again, the issue is we realize that we are a small department, we have about 220 employees, with a budget of about 260. So therefore, we need to choose how we spend our resources and also where we put our energy. So in developing this strategy, we had to adopt a three-pronged approach. Firstly, we had to say the department and its associates cannot operate outside the economic clarity of the country. And the performance of the economy has been slow, and I think we will all test ministers talking about Moody's, but also we've seen the data from the Reserve Bank, we've seen the data from the Statistics SA, state the data from the Department of Labor on the unemployment stats. So we need to be able to say state-owned companies must react positively to assist the state to resolve these issues. But also, this economic performance is challenged by key policy frameworks that need to be put in place, and we need to move the economy to a different path. We've got the National Development Plan, which sets a long-term horizon for the country, say, from 2014 to 2030, there should be a migration path for this country. Then we've got the IPEP that looks at we need to industrialize as we grow as a developing country. But we also have other policies such as the National Growth Path. This is just the integrated resource plan that looks at the future of the generation mix for the energy in the country. So at some point, all of those policies, they are important for our state-owned companies. Because, as Ms. indicated earlier on, we were created as an office of privatization. The idea was that they took the number of state-owned companies across various sectors and industries, put them in DPE, gave DPE a 5-year ban to dispose of those assets. And in process, we sold a number of companies. We listed Telkom, we sold ISCO, and the Viamex. I remember the stories around Transnet when we are bundling water funds and all that. Then there was a policy shift in the process to realize that if we're selling off this asset, we're doing this hoping that the private sector is going to step in. Indirectly, you are defining the role for the state. you are saying there's no role for the state in the economy of the country, because the economy will be driven by the private sector. And then the whole shift led to what you call the developmental state. Because when we realized that you needed to deal with the triple bottom line, and for you to think that you need to give the state an arm, but you're selling all these others that the state can use, then you're going to find yourself at the back foot. Then there are issues of structure of the economy. Minister spoke about extraction industries, where we see that the mining sector has been shedding jobs. And again, it took the policy of what drives the investment by the mining sector. It's a return on investment. Anything that threatens that return on investment, the mining sector would retrench, unlike the state. So we when we look at the economic performance, we took these three pillars and we put them there under the economic part, and we said we wanted the stable companies to respond to that. Then we also had to look at the performance of the portfolio itself, because it's another issue to take and run the performing state-owned companies to say they must drive the economy, because we needed it to be realistic. So we needed to fix your SAF. You needed to fix ESCOM. You needed to fix Fastnet and then be able to say to them they can lead to the path of the economy. So the analysis that has been undertaken by National Treasury together with the SARS and the Reserve Bank shows that the performance of state-owned companies, and this is state-owned companies not only with the DPE portfolio, even those that are for the DPE, because currently only six is DPE. But we've got a plethora of the proliferation of state-owned companies. The TFC report has identified 715. So the way that Treasury did, looked at the landscape of all state-owned companies, regardless of where they are located.
Thank you, Minister.
And that exercise indicated that the state-owned companies are performing low or below the desirable levels, and we need an intervention. And secondly, there was also an acknowledgement that the operational performance and financial performance of some of the state-owned companies is having a serious negative impact on the economy. And one of them is ESCOM. So you look at SAA, SAA is having a fiscal negative impact on the fiscal. But ESCOM is having a big negative impact on the economy. Then we also looked at the policy and the institutional framework. Because we're saying, if then we want to fix the balance sheet and we wanted to fix the operational efficiencies of the state-owned companies, what are the policies that can make this easy for the state-owned companies? And what is the right institutional framework? Currently, the landscape within which state-owned companies operate has not yielded desirable outcomes in totality if you look at the benefits to the entire state. Because all the state-owned companies in the DPE portfolio, except the DNL, they all have their own enabling legislation. Then you have SABC, Post Office, and all of them, APSA, AT&T, all of them having their own legislation. Now, the point was raised earlier on by Honorable Member Howell, the Q's and SAA. That shows and also reflects lack of collaboration between SAA as a state-owned company and the Apple company. Also the state-owned company, because Apple company is with the Department of Transport. There's no collaboration between SAA and AXA. So those are the things that we look at the institutional framework and the policy landscape. Then we also realize that the shareholder function by itself needs to be codified. DPE has a number of frameworks that we use to manage state-owned companies. We have developed the remuneration guidelines. We've developed guidelines for the appointment of CEOs and executives, how we manage performance of the SOEs, quarterly reviews, and all of that. But then when you go to another department, like Department of Telecommunication, Postal Services, or even DOT, you find that they do the same but differently, different instruments. So the shareholder function in the state itself needs to be codified, because everybody's doing it differently. And that also creates challenges, because then it gives room to state-owned companies to cherry pick and play the shareholder against the policy department at some point. So then there's the last part is the economic strategy for the country, because really we believe that it depends on the state-owned companies. then we are going to address those three areas through reversing the past trends, so that we can create an economy that is able to influence the developmental agenda. However, if you look at the historic GDP growth and look at where we came from between 2008 2009 in recession, we have not fully recovered. And the level that we said of between 3% and 5%, without even actually some of the economics, and now it has been confirmed by the Minister of Finance in his budget finance speech, he indicated that we're looking at a growth of 2%. Then we also looked at the second dimension of the fixed capital formation for the country. Again, leading up to 2008, this has not been a priority for the country. So you need to grow your local industries, you need to grow the skills, you need to improve on your manufacturing capabilities. But the truth and the challenge is, if you are not able to have levers that you can put for the private sector to be able to assist you together with state-owned companies to drive this, we will not be able to change the landscape. Most of the state-owned companies are involved in heavy procurement. And the question that we've been asking all of it, how do we use that procurement to drive the economy and to grow local economy? Of course, we've spoken about the unemployment rate, which is growing. Yesterday, we added luster. We got the figure that in so much as we are making strides, we are not there as yet to address the issues of unemployment, especially youth unemployment. And of course, the trade balance, where we're looking at the relationship between our import and exports, and how do we use that to make sure that we grow the economy. But also, how do we make sure that, because we have a weak currency, and as and when we export, and as and when we import, we do that in a way that we leave some residual benefit of the country. And I think the members will appreciate that the environment within which Transnet operates is critical for our export industries, and we need to be able to see what kind of efficiencies to be bringing to Transnet, both on its rail capacity and on its ports, to make sure that we are able to address these issues. A takeaway from this slide, I won't go through it in detail because I think it sums up the first the two slides, but I think the takeaway here is that we came to acknowledge, and this is acknowledged through the entire government as well, that South Africa is and should be a developmental state for many years to come. And in doing that, there's a number of goals. We need to deliver on the strategic infrastructure, because that's the only way we can unlock our growth. If we grow our ports, we grow our rail, we grow our electricity, we grow also the broadband networks, then we will be able to grow the economy. And then we will be then able to support what you call the secondary economic activities like your tourism. Because people, when they come into the country, then they are able to be sustained through electricity provision, the broadband connectivity, there's infrastructure, there's roads, and there's various modes of transport as well. But we need strategic organizational and operational capability to do that. Because you cannot grow the state-owned companies if we as the state we are weak. So we need a capable state. And this is also something that was contained in the Presidential Review Committee. We need to strengthen the types of people that are appointed in senior leadership in government. We need to ensure that government officials deliver on the mandate, but we also need to be able to ensure that departments perform. Then you bring your state-owned companies, because if we are able, as government officials, to manage state-owned companies, then we are able to perform our oversight function better. And then both the state and its entities are in a position to be what you call the implementing agents for the national strategy. And so we in building the strategy, we decided that we're going to have key elements of all of this developmental state activities for each and every state-owned companies. And I think later on, when you talk about issues of mandate as well, the members will see how we want it to balance between the developmental mandate and the commercial mandate. But it's also important that state-owned companies themselves become good employers. If you think what is happening at Middleby, and the risk that the continuing strife have on the successful delivery and target delivery of the project is worrying. And if you look at the relationship between the contractors, which are private sector companies, and the Eskom, if we don't measure that relationship, we run the risk of then the SOCs not being good employers, actually being doing the opposite, where they would be trading those jobs. This slide talks you also what Mr. spoke about earlier on. So we come out of a period of major underinvestment. And I think why we want to contextualize this before we come to the exact details now of this strategy itself is when the department was created as an office of privatization, Eskom and Transnet and other state-owned companies were instructed not to invest in new projects because the idea was that we were going to bring the private sector in. As a result, entities had to look for activities elsewhere. Firstly, they lost skill because a lot of engineers had to look for greener pastures because as an engineer, if my job is to build a power station and the company is not going to be building power station, I need to go work and exercise. That's trade. So, as from Transnet, they lost skills at the time when the other countries, especially in Europe, there were massive build programs. But also, they went into the continent to try to sustain themselves. And this led to some of those investments in the continent not doing very well. And we now we can see the impact of that. That's pulling out of some of the investments that were not generating good returns in other African countries. We were at that stage also constrained themselves. So all of these issues then they led to the infrastructure program within the state-owned companies being a compromised situation. And you'll see that if for us to then recover from that situation, we need to make sure that the key infrastructure projects are completed within cost and they are also completed timelessly. But for us to be able to do that, we need to put funding on the table, which is now the challenge. Because the fiscal is constrained. You're telling Eskom we're having energy, electricity supply challenges. Go and invest. Eskom went into a massive build program to build the two huge power stations at the go. Transnet went to build a pipeline, which initially was supposed to be 12-inch pipeline, but it was made to be a 24-inch pipeline. And all of this, they wanted the resources. Every time when they started building, and you will see between the periods of 2000 and 2010, that's when there was this drive of the capital expenditure program. Eskom started in 2004, so did Transnet, the NMTP. Both projects in Eskom and Transnet, they have one common denominator, is cost of funds and delays. It's because at the time when they were building, because they lost those skills, they needed them to go and source those skills at the front. And they, all of these needed to be built in. So the period of major underinvestment had serious repercussions for countries and for the state-owned companies. And we're feeling it now, even if it's something that happened in the 90s when the companies were told to stop their investment. So what is it that we need to do? We need to address the issues of the funding gap. And if we are to address those issues, we need to recognize therefore that the state, it cannot be the only one that will carry the burden to ensure that we close all this funding gap. And then that's where the strategy comes in to say, we need state-owned companies, but we also need the state-owned companies to form strategic partnerships that will help them also to assist us with the funding gap. So where do we fit in terms of our oversight as the department? When we develop the strategy, and one thing maybe that also we need to stress to the members is that because as a department we don't have legislation that creates the department as a department, a shareholder oversight and a shareholder manager, we find ourselves in a situation where we develop tools to react to situations with the state-owned company. So this pyramid just shows where we fit in as a department, and that's red block as a shareholder. But right at the top, we've got what you call the executive, which is cabinet. And then we have other government departments where you will have, on, let's say, on your left-hand side, policy departments, the Department of Energy with respect to ESCOM and Department of Transport in respect of Transnet. Then other departments, you would have the Department of Environmental Affairs, and you will have other departments that are also having regulators there. And then in between, you find up this as the shareholder, and below is the state-owned companies for which you have oversight. So we have identified primary tasks for us as firstly ensuring that there is alignment through this pyramid. Alignment in the decisions that the cabinet would be making in terms of making sure that DPE and other government departments, they exercise and implement those policies. But then we also need to ensure that in the middle part, there's collaboration. Collaboration between ourselves, the department, and other government departments, but also collaboration between the state-owned companies, our state-owned companies. ESCOM and Transnet, we had an incident where ESCOM had a challenge with the transportation of coal. And yet we've got a state-owned company with a rail capacity that is the same state. So we needed to work hard to make sure that there's collaboration between ESCOM and Transnet. But recently with the electricity challenges, we had the challenge where ESCOM was struggling with the supply of diesel. So it was the supply of diesel and the transportation of diesel. And yet you've got the PetroSA, which is wholly owned by the state. And you've got the Transnet that can actually assist with the transportation. So again, the aspect of collaboration is a strong pillar now in our strategy going forward. It's the collaboration between ourselves, UPE and other government departments, but also state-owned companies within the portfolio and outside the portfolio. And then the oversight of over the state-owned companies. These are also critical for the purpose of the shareholder to make sure that we are agile in the manner in which we manage state-owned companies. And saying to the committee, in the future when we come back, judge us on what are we doing to ensure that there's alignment with the national policy, to make sure that the SOCs are able to deliver. But what we do when there are challenges within the SOC environment? How do we leverage synergies and collaboration? And how do we intercede and mediate on behalf of state-owned companies where they are not able to do so themselves? Where we have to engage the regulator, doing that cautiously understanding that the regulator has to be independent. But also how do we deal with issues of policy, where there's a policy that actually may have an adverse impact to a state-owned company in the long run. Then finally, on the oversight, managing and monitoring performance of state-owned companies, ensuring that there's a link between the SOC performance and translating its performance of the national policy and other objectives, and making sure as well the successful upward and downward movement of the SOC activity. And of course, ensuring that there's consequence management and accountability. This slide I won't go into the details. It also highlights the same thing, but maybe now indicating the policy. We've spoken about the executive government, which is cabinet. We've now implemented the NDP, which is the key pillar of our strategy. So we've disaggregated the NDP into the MTSF, the medium-term strategy framework, over a period of 5 years. So you would see that our strategy now talks to what is contained in the NDP and in the MTSF. And then how we cascade it down to the six entities, the bottom there within the portfolio. The MTSF 2014-19 sets four critical areas which we have expanded out of the MTSF. They are now in Minister's Delivery Agreement with the President, but they are also in our strategy, and we are now putting it in the corporate plans of the state-owned companies and the shareholder compacts. The first one is that we have committed ourselves to increase the electricity generation reserve margin from 1% to 19% in 2019. And the issue here is that this is already a committed target. So DPE and ESCOM cannot change the goalposts for this. We need to make sure that we increase that reserve margin. Committee members will remember that there was a point where ESCOM was actually sitting at 15% reserve margin. I think currently we're belong to here. Then the second target is we've committed ourselves to increase the tonnage moved on rail from 207 million tons per annum to 330 by 2019. We've also committed ourselves to improve operational performance at the sea, port and the inland terminals from 28 to 35 average by 2019. And that GCMH is crane per movement. And then lastly, we say, if you look at those objective 1, 2 and 3, they talk mainly to Eskom Transnet. But in the portfolio, we've got 6 state-owned companies. So we say, your SACOL, your ANESCO and DINEL, they have a role to play. And they are going to assist us to ensure that we commit to the investment rate of 25% of the GDP. So most of the queries that we've received today on the strategy, where we've presented to our chairperson forum, our CEOs, even to the portfolio committee, the questions are all around. There seems to be more focus on Eskom and Transnet, but we've got more in the portfolio. What about the others? But we say they play a role in terms of ensuring that there's the investment rate of 25% is achieved. And already by DNL, we're sitting here and got a book of 330 billion. With Alex, we've seen they've increased their production of diamond currents. So we would be putting them in this block to make sure that each and every state-owned company has a role to play in the strategy. The emphasis on these three is because our argument is, if you don't address the electricity challenges, the impact of our failure is not only felt by Eskom or DPE, but the systemic impact across the economy. SARS is complaining that they will not be able to collect taxes and meet their targets because already factories are not producing at the rate that they are supposed to be producing because of the load shedding. So the systemic impact if Eskom is not achieving its goals. If Eskom, the Transnet is not able to move, that it affects our exports and the import as well. So that trade deficit is at the risk. Then you've got indirect impact that goes to the DTI and the IPEP as well. So the focus was on those because of the impact on the economy, but we say there's still room for other state-owned companies in the portfolio. Okay, this slide, just in brief, the entities in red, we're just showing them are those that are now have been expunged out of the portfolio. However, the department's role has not been diminished. We, Minister indicated to participate at the IMC, chaired by the Deputy President on SAA, because we insist on 2 things. We said, even if SAA is not within our portfolio, we had put targets in the SAA compact, which were not going to benefit SAA only or benefit DPE portfolio. For example, we had the target on the MRO, the maintenance and repair. So it was looking at collaboration between DINEL, SAX and SAA, because we're saying all of them, they needed to maintain their metal, they needed to maintain their aircraft. And we already have a subsidiary in SAA through the SAA Technical, which could be leveraged. But also we say there's a big opportunity for South Africa to create a maintenance hub, because most of the airlines in the continent, they service in Europe. So we felt that even if the entity has been taken to National Treasury in terms of financial oversight, these are big strategic issues for the country that should not be lost. But also the second part was SAA's contribution to the circular economy through tourism. We don't want to lose sight of that as well. And then BDI, it's with the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services. Again, here is an issue of now collaboration and ensuring that the policy on consolidation of ICT assets is streamlined. Next slide. I think this slide has spoken about the diminishing value in terms of the financial performance of our state-owned companies. A takeaway probably maybe for the committee members is if you look at the weighted average cost to capital of the three state-owned companies, you can see that it is below the levels that are required, and actually you can see there it's below 6%. And then if you look at the DNL, Alexo and Safcol, just below 15%. So the dotted red line is the weighted average return on equity. But the biggest challenge that we have, every time when we go to our annual general meetings, there's a resolution that the state companies will put to the minister on declaration of dividends. And you'll see that most of them, they are not in a position to declare dividends. And now we've been saying, we don't mind not taking a dividend as the state. But what we want to see, at least an opportunity where a state-owned company breaks even, and at least it can be able to reinvest the profits that it makes so that it can then support the developmental mandate. So what are the issues that the strategy is dealing with? Big ticket items around ESCOM, we're saying electricity supply, we need to make sure that this challenge is addressed because countries are not able to meet the needs of the economy. Transnet, there's a challenge in enhancing logistics capacity to support industrialization. We're seeing at the Richards Bay coal terminal and what can be done there to enhance the logistics capacity. Alexco needs to refocus this company. This is one company that actually results that it's not receiving enough airtime and enough accolades, both within government and even within the media. Because Alexco has to perform the function of the state. It has to engage in a protected land claim, which saw the development of the Rechtersveld in the Greater Namakwa area. And this is a state-owned company. That is a function that is supposed to be done by the state. They've developed the township, they've created the PSJV, they've rehabilitated the farms in that area. And we believe that now that they've given that mandate and they've implemented the deed of settlement, we need now to relook at this mandate so that we can support the company. Dinair, as I indicated, they're sitting currently at an order book of 330 billion. We wanted to enhance that. It's got a good footprint internationally. It has structured partnerships with big defense companies. And this has happened at the time when most of the military budgets are cut, but Dinair has been able to sustain it itself. And we see it gradually weaning itself of the government guarantees. So we wanted to enhance its defense capabilities through a structure and strengthening its acquisition strategy. Safcon, we are embarking on the new strategy for the company because we're still sitting with a cabinet decision that says this company might be privatized. It's a 2007 decision, and we need to go back to cabinet and say we believe that we can refocus this company. And we may not privatize the company, but it does not necessarily mean that you cannot bring in private sector participation into it. You can look at this agro-processing side of the business, what you can do there to enhance, because it supports local communities, it supports schools, it creates jobs, and so we believe that it's also another company that signifies the developmental mandate of the state. Then South African Express, we are in the process now of addressing this going concerns with the guarantee that has been furnished by the Minister of Finance. We've agreed on a new strategy with the company, which is called Business Unusual. We are going through a Vision 2020 with the company where we're looking at now highlighting low-hanging fruits. But as Minister indicated, the success of SAX turnaround cannot be separated from SAA. And this is the discussion that we're having with Treasury through the IMC. So, committee members, you see now we come into the crux of probably what you find most interesting in terms of that strategy. Six state-owned companies, but also because we have been given a mandate by cabinet to look at prioritization of state-owned companies across the landscape, we needed to develop a criteria that would say how do you prioritize as I said, we've got 715 stable entities, 21 that are co-tempt major Schedule 2 entities in terms of the PRMA. So that's where our primary focus will be. But we're saying we want over the next 12 months to use this criteria. Firstly, we need to say, how do you identify a strategic SOC? If that SOC performs the function that could not readily be undertaken by the private sector, we will say strategic. Is what Transnet is doing and what Eskom are doing can easily be done by private sector? And I can answer confidently with a no. With regard to Eskom, if you look at it, it still provides 95% of the electricity. We've got 5% that is to be provided by the IPPs, but we can see that it, the IPP also, because of the challenges, we believe that it will take a bit of time for us to get to a point where you would secure enough electricity supply from the IPPs. The second question is, does an SOC operate as a monopoly in an unregulated or poorly regulated sector? Sticking with the Eskom example, Eskom in a way is a monopoly, as I said, 95% of the electricity. And I would argue that the real regulator, but there's challenges within the regulation. Firstly, the biggest challenge is cost reflectivity. Eskom, the cost of producing electricity vis-a-vis the return is skew, and this is an issue that we're looking at the regulator to address, and it's been a challenge for many, many years. So we look to a situation where we can have a cost reflective tariff, and this will lead to the regulator to ensure that the regulator framework is responsive to ensure we do that. But again, can we afford it as a country, the cost reflective tariff? Then the third one is disruption of the economy. Activities would have a significant systemic impact on the economy. I think we've spoken about how the electricity challenges is creating that. Then we say, so if you put Eskom into that first criteria of significant economic impact, so you would answer, you would tick all those answers, yes. Then we set a second criteria, zoom further and say, are the services that are being provided by Eskom critical to multiple sectors? Oh yes, electricity is critical to all the sectors, as I said, including even yourself, that is feeling the impact because of the impact of the load shedding. So we believe that we need to get to this criteria as soon as possible so that we are able to identify what you deem critical and strategic state-owned companies, and then you pay focus to those. Any other that does not answer all of these questions, we take priority to state-owned companies. And those are where we say there are problems with the state-owned companies. We can bring private sector participation into it at different costs and at different levels. So we have addressed those challenges. I think the criteria gives us the ability to address that. And we say here, insufficient power producing capacity of Eskom. It's our number one priority. Transnet, the demand market strategy issues must be enhanced, and we must make sure that we achieve those. Okay, I won't go into the details of the risks because they are inherent in what we presented, but I think maybe just to contextualize this risk in terms of strategy, we think if we don't address the Eskom challenges, you're sitting with you can move from load shedding to countrywide blackouts, and therefore the economy will suffer. And this will defeat the purpose of what we spoke about in the earlier slide of the three blocks of the economy. And then the downgrading, definitely we don't want the economy to be downgraded further than this chunk. And as many as I indicated, we're already engaging the credit rating agencies. They give us certain things that we need to do to fix that. And we're already contacting with ECOM around those. But there's a risk if there's a collapse on any of the government guarantees. And this was not only for ESCOM, but for all. I think the members have been following the COMA case with interest as well. The risk if any of the government guarantees are called. Because then the risk is not only on the downgrade on the entity itself, but on the sovereign as well. Okay, transport, we've spoken about the road transportation and all of this. So, what is it that you're going to find in our strategy? Because it was important that we develop a strategy that responds to all of the challenges. And I think the committee members will understand. This is a totally different strategy. We're basing national treasure on it. And these are big ticket issues. If you to drive the economy, you cannot speak to a template-based strategy. You need to react to what is happening in the market. So what you're going to find in our strategy is that we divided it into things. The first thing is that we address what you call the core challenges. And those are all that we've addressed around electricity, rail, soft calls, and all of them. Then we say you address the institutional challenges. Because if you say ESCOM must perform and make sure that at execution level there's electricity, 19% reserve margin for at all times. Institutionally, we should be able to support that mandate. And therefore, the challenges that are within department itself, how we are structured, policy department, regulator, and shareholder, need to be resolved. Otherwise, we will not have legal companies delivering. And then, what we have done is that in each and every core challenge, you'll see we define the challenge area in detail and then give a description for each challenge. So I won't go through it, member states probably they've gone through it. But why we wanted to do this as well was to make sure that we've done a good diagnostic and we've solved the problem. But also, we don't want the SOC only solving their own problem because they can't diagnose themselves and then remedy their own ills. So we felt as well that we needed to come to that space. But also ourselves internally in DPE, we realized that there was a time where we were internally focused. Now we say we sorted ourselves as the department, we believe that shareholder management function is getting stronger, we've dealt with a whole lot of challenges, but now we need to be focusing externally. So our assessment is that government has defined a radical socio-economic program. And this program requires radical intervention to reposition the state-owned companies so that they are able to play a leading role, they drive investments, and they ensure that the economy is competitive. However, we cannot be able to achieve those if the state of the state-owned companies themselves is not changing. And we believe that the government shareholder management model that we are now championing and how we change in the state-owned company, how they operate, how they compete, will be able to make sure that we achieve and contribute as a department to this radical economic transformation. We are not a direct service delivery facing department, so we don't render service to the public. We can only render the service if we ensure the state-owned companies are effective and efficient, and that is our mandate and it's the nature of our strategy going forward. So committee members, we look upon you to support the strategy and engage with it and call us to account on it as we develop it further. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting PD, for a very comprehensive and a very informative presentation. I think we agree with you and we will work with you that you don't have, your mandate is not directed to community service delivery to the community, but to strengthen the second company to really deliver on their mandate. And I think we really appreciate in their focus to make the second companies work. I will give over to the Honourable Member Pakhi. If there is any for questions, you can raise it.
I need water.
Okay, sure. We will give you no opportunity to do what you need to do. Thank you.
Sure, let's welcome the presentation. The acting DG was very articulate and but then I recognize the passion is what I like. in that articulation. I've still received questions, but I appreciate the background perspective that is so open and honest to say this is where you're coming from, and the department was demeaned by the status of being a privatization department. You know, every time when I'm frustrated, I always say, you know what, the issue of ESCOM, it was raised by one of the parties in Alajuwe, ANC, the Communist Party, even before 2000, to say, can we please focus on the physical infrastructure in this country? And that call was ignored. It was ignored. And this acting DG, the first person to, is the first person that I hear being honest about such issues. Look, I don't think we should have a problem with state monopoly. I know this issue is an ideological issue. Like you say, we are, or you are, a department which is not face-to-face in terms of deliverable services to our people. But you can only do that by making sure that you capacitate the operational and institutional capacity of state-owned government. Now, and you've made a point, a fundamental point to say, you have this list of state-owned companies, not only those, the one that you are responsible for. I want to raise a fundamental point. As you go back, we need to be, to put a platform, or to create a platform where we deliberately and consciously assess objectively and critically the impact of this list of state-owned companies. The impact that, sure, this point, it's not for the first time I raise this point. Because if honestly we can sit down, we will find that we are having resources that are being deployed somewhere, but they do not make any impact on the lives of our people. And I believe this is the correct platform to raise that issue. Now, the strategy should respond to the market, not to template space, expect the orientation of treasure. And that's a very fundamental point. I agree with you. But as much as the strategy is supposed to respond to the reality and the market, but it should not be on the basis of the terms determined and informed by the market. Because the market, our strategy should respond to the failure of the market. I mean, it's going to be good if we put it that way. I thought the acting DG would say much again in terms of the measurements that serves to give you the perspective on the performance of this space. Like you said, if we give away ESCOM, will any private entity be able to give the service that ESCOM is giving to our people? I would expect you to say the same with SAFCON, just to give us a detail to say why there's a few perspective that begins to say, can we sell off or privatize SAFCON? And how do you privatize SAFCON when you have not penetrated the food industry, the agro-processing industry, still white dominated in this? I'm passionate about this. Now, I want you to come in on that point. The credit agencies are never politically and ideologically neutral. They are never. You will have an agency that is based in USA. Every time you talk to a economics in South Africa, it will downgrade South Africa as a country, because it serves a particular agenda. I'm not sure whether you're explicit to say this credit agency, we have now 50-50. It means we have a control and power over it, unless I misunderstood the minister. The last point I want to make so that I give other members an opportunity. Can I raise an issue that pertains to the collaboration and how many private colleges we have in the country that train pilots? Have you ever sat down and assessed the risk in terms of security, the politics of security, the pilots that you are training or trained by this private college? I think that I wanted to make here. Oh yeah, the collaboration. This is the last point, Chairperson. I want to expand the collaboration of these public entities beyond the public entity that we are talking about, but we also engage on the security matter. Look, your airport company, our international airport, O.R. Tambo, you have people whom will be culprits in terms of criminal activities, and those people have been marked by our security forces, and they identify the culprit or what an individual who passes the airport, and that person who is marking the culprit, he must be able to get to the culprit or follow the culprit to the end. But when he gets to the airport, he cannot pass a certain line because your officials at the airport do not know and understand the security matters of this country. They don't even know that we have our intelligence officers who must follow certain elements, even if they produce their own identity cards. They are from intelligence. I'm following this particular man, but that person will be stopped. It is in that context I'm putting the issue of collaboration in a broader context. I'm sorry if I've taken long. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Over to Honourable Member for the
First of all, thank you very much to the department, and we really appreciated that the minister was here. And thank you very much for the very good presentation. And when I continue with the rest, it doesn't take anything away, and I don't want to be understood differently. For me, this was an absolutely wonderful presentation. It was a fantastic diagnosis, as you said yourself, in what is going on. And this committee needs it. I agree. As well as the change in the strategy. The only difficulty going from here forward for the rest of the year, because we are also here representing our provinces and in a way of oversight role to see what is going on, is to take what you gave to us in this wonderful presentation and link that to the actual APPs. It's there, but it's not easy to read and it's not easy to find, because I'm sitting here now with the budget book, the strategic plan and the APP, and then your presentation is a whole pulling together of those things. So in a way, if in future we can just find a way of making that a little bit easier. That's the first thing. Then in general, I want to go to certain of these questions. I would like to know, now I have to go to pages. On page 4, the 5-point plan that's been approved that you referred to, and deliver on the gold program and increasing private sector participation in generation. And you already spelled out that Eskom produces 95% of the energy, and in the question, should it, and that comes to other Bukaki's whole ideological argument, which is correct in a certain sense. We're looking at policy, we're looking at strategy. I come and say, what is the time frame that you are looking for? Although at the end, it's like 60 months, is that the total time frame for this whole thing? Is there another time frame for increasing private sector participation? And if you have that kind of time frame, what is it? Because that argument of can we afford Eskom not to be a state organization, I want to be very challenging and say at this moment this country can't afford Eskom as a state company as it is. And proof is there. Otherwise we won't have a diagnosis. So what is the alternative? Because there's one company created for the how many years from apartheid right through to the new South Africa, 95% of electricity. So there was no challenge or there was no gap or opening for any other organization to deliver. So what precisely is going to change? And that brings me to the stakeholder bill, which is very important, and I would like to know what's the time frame for that. Well, that will go into that, for what exactly is going to change that whole scenario. And for that matter, I just raise this and say, this department, as the leader and guiding and sort of an oversight role, I know that you're not, that this is your role that you play, looked at the possibility of subdividing Eskom in, say for instance, separation of transmission and of transmission units and sorry? Not answering, just ask. And then that's the first question. Then I want to go to the on page 5, the codifying of the shareholders. You referred to that. I'd like to know what is the time frame for that. That's in the third block there. The shareholder function still needs to be codified and strengthened and informed by key events that occurred. Okay. Then the whole thing, you mentioned it, but I've read in this a very strong focus on capacity building, okay, on the one hand, and then in this whole thing that you said, a lot of people, a lot of skills have been lost due to certain reasons that they couldn't create their projects and things. What is the ability of the department to ensure capacity building or capacity in specifically Eskom and Israel, although I know Israel is at treasury, but it's still going to play a role. And then I would like to know, with this backlog that we have and the inability of Eskom at this stage to provide electricity, broader, we are looking at, in this span, at improving infrastructure, at industrialization, as well as broadening the manufacturing aspect. All those things that ride basically on the availability of electricity. Now, with the backlog, with the financial constraints, what in the 5-point plan, or wherever it is, and then on the last one that is the growing the population of within the next 5 or 10 years, both into this, how are we going to ensure that the plan that we have is going to be long-term plans and will provide electricity enough to support all these things? That is mentioned in this program and in other departments. And then I would just like to share that the war room and the 5-point plan of the war room and that, oh, the tune change. I would like a presentation of that to this committee. I would appreciate that, I think. And then the priority, you refer every now and then on infrastructure development and that kind of thing, and in the budget, in the thing, I'd like to know, does the department or Transnet or in collaboration identify specific priority projects that you're going to, and if you have that, you can, and if you don't have it here today, we'd like the committee to have that. Then on page, and I'm not a financial person, so please bear with me. And I don't know what is the page number. Page where you refer to these organizations on how it would not provide sufficient return on investment made. Sorry. Yeah. The return generated by a state-owned company doesn't cover the cost of the capital investment, which is the cash across a number of SOCs. Low returns have been brought about by low earnings and business losses over the period. And then on the next page you refer to refocusing a lead core and developing a new strategy for SACCOR. And then you also said you moved away that later on in the presentation from these state-owned companies don't necessarily have to declare dividend or work on that kind of a profit as long as they can reinvest in the company. Now, for me, to be able to increase the growth and investment, how is that strategy or that goal going to work with the diversification of Alexcor as well as the broadening of the operations and change in Southcore? And I assume that you won't be able to give us all that today, but I will also like that presentation to be done to the portfolio of the select committee. I think that is it for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member Lapkhani. Oh, sorry, Jim.
Are we going as a committee later on to, if we already have the minister requested from provincial side things that we think should be prioritised, are we going to do it at the end, or can I give a few things already? Because that's going to mix the whole thing now. Okay, thank you.
Honourable Member, who is next? Who was next, Matt? Honourable Matt?
Honourable
Masangu, Honourable Masangu.
Yes, Ms. is for facing it right. No?
No, Masangu. Thank you. And also, I want to thank the APG. For a very informative and to extent it actually opened my mind to a whole lot of things because it was so well delivered. My first question has to do with the acting status of the DG. When is it likely to get to a stage where we have the ADG not an acting? Also, given the challenges that the department is dealing with, to say, you know, we even have acting senior official in the department. And the second one has to do with what I have heard, not what, but I think quite if not right, over the media, about the load shedding, communication of the load shedding itself. there was once when the Eskom spokesperson was asked, why don't you just say that there will be no shedding, like he said there would be no shedding ongoing, and then he said, we as the NCP are here to provide electricity. That is our mandate. So we cannot be heard to be saying that we will not do that. But at the same time, what the media person at one stage was saying is that just to prepare the public, you know, so that they're not shocked each time they hear that they will be. So I just wondered if it helps, if it's doing more good than harm to actually upfront say that this is what can be expected. So it was just an issue of saying I did not understand, because now I was caught between listening to this as a member of the public and a member of the committee, and just wanted to know if that was helping in any way. And on slide 4, the slide talks to phases in the phases that the strategy is going to go over as an approach. And I wondered if those phases will be can be broken down into the 5-year, because the reporting period that we're talking about is a 5-year one, if that can be broken down into the 5 years, and so that one knows where these phases are fitting in within the reporting period. And then we go to the slide that is talking about, it doesn't have a number, but it's a slide that went into a very interesting detail about the trends, the reversing the trends. And I wondered if in that analysis that was so well done, one can include, if when you were looking at it, one could include the trend of lack of capacity, especially in senior management, as a contributing factor to the impact that these trends have in the situations we are looking at now in the SOC. And also, I was just thinking about other opportunistic lapses that then come in to just exacerbate the situation that we are dealing with. If one is looking at trends as they were outlined there. And this one is, this question is just a curiosity on my part. I may not even have an answer to it, but I would ask it anyway, because it talks to how long will it take for, because the ADG was talking about the strategy being reactive, because you have to react to what is happening at the moment. But how long will it take for it to turn that corner of just focusing on reacting to actually where it things can be planned and proactively looking at what needs to happen going forward? And then the timeline, if it's an indicative timeline to the FAA being with Treasury and then returning to the department, is that even an issue, a case? And the 2014-2015 APP speaks to a 3-year evaluation plan, but then when you get to the 2014-2015, there is mention of that plan, or even where that plan is, and what one could get in some kind of a data progress of the plan in a good way. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Jefferson. I've got basically one big question, and that is the impact of ESCOM's current policy on procurement around BEE status. As far as I understand that ESCOM purchases coal from companies with a BEE status that's got at least 51% black ownership. Now, the impact of that is that coal is being purchased by BEE companies from the original suppliers and sold at an escalated price, which reflects on our electricity price and cost to the consumers, because we spoke about the issue of costs
impact on the consumers, which is quite vigorous at this stage. You know, I mean, they're asking for another, 25% increase again. What is the department doing to address this specific issue? And is there a look into this escalation of prices, how that can be regulated so that we don't have that problem? Obviously, we want to expand, ownership and previously disadvantaged development, and expanding the specific interest group taking part in the economy, but it cannot be at the expense of the ordinary citizen, the poor person out there who have to buy electricity and then have to pay very high cost just on the basis that this price escalation is taking place. So what is the status on that, and what is the department planning to do regarding that specific problem? Because I think it's a serious problem.
Thank you, Chair. Out of the 67 questions asked, I'll ask only 3. I won't make it to me. I won't be like the rest asking. I won't make it 33 to be 100. Let me join and welcome the presentation and indicate that honorable members, even though you were very generous, all of them, they have represented me very well. So I won't repeat what they have asked. I will start commending the good part and indicate that as somebody coming from Mpumalanga, I appreciate the role that has been played by the department, because I was the case to the department about the issue of the train that killed 24 people, and the department was able to cope and honor the commitment that was made there with the Transnet office that was good. So it shows that if ever we are presenting our provinces and raising issues with them, and that commitment was made, so we appreciate that activity. As maybe a comment that it's something that you can even take to the minister. When we're doing introduction and the issue of us representing provinces, if you are coming to us and in your presentation, if you can always try to reflect the impact of each and every province of what we are doing, so that we are in a very constructive way able to criticize and give credit where it's due. I started by doing that, but it will be impossible for us. Like my question, the first one, is about subcall. I know that there are some claims in my province and subcall is operating there and it's affected. So I thought maybe we'll have a plan that will be reflecting that, so that we can see how those challenges will be addressed. The second one, it's linked to what was done by the management of the community acting DG. We were so fortunate when we started there. We went to TENED, Transnet, SA Express, SAA, and that gave us a better understanding of what is happening there, because we were able to engage with them doing the oversight. But it was a very serious orientation on our part. So with SAA and broadband in Franco, if you can explain what has happened to the resources that used to oversee those two, because currently the responsibility now lies somewhere. So if you can clarify that one. Let me not be tempted to go beyond 3, because I said I've asked only 3. The last one, it's about your SOB board. As a department, before board members are appointed, to screen them to make sure that we don't have parking sitting in food, because that has got a serious impact in terms of e-performance. So if you can maybe deal with that one. But let me not get to the temptations of dealing with the... Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Nyambi. Honorable the Father.
No, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you for the presentations. You are telling it as it is. We really appreciate that. As one may quote one of the revolutionary Cape Verde, that Bernal lies and claim what is a victory. And he further said, do not mask the difficulties. It is interesting to really listen to the presentations openly. Honorable Lavska reflected that indeed there are historical challenges that we indeed have inherited. But I try to find out that whether to prioritize an entity such as ESCOM, can it indeed address our socio-economic imperatives? Historically, we are aware that services or commodities such as electricity was a privilege of the very few. I'm not making a political statement, but having managed to tell it as it is, you're making us to engage on this and to continue also with the truth. Say this community, but look, I'm from Northwest. I grew up in a village. I was born and bred in a village. It is a good and a do it. And a plus.
Yeah.
There is a plus. A plus. Black color.
That was a dream.
You will see poles. Some of us didn't even know what that is. These poles. Don't look to turn that somewhere far in a corner. There will be a house of a white man there who enjoy all this electricity. Today you are seeing massive. Even this emerging mushrooming squatter camps are having access to electricity. So deep thinking is as can be prioritized. Will it be possible that at the end of the day, these poor or the poorest will have access to this privilege? And my question will be going to the funding challenges. And say, what is the criteria of roving in some partners? How do you look at such partners? And the type of percentage that will be even okay, the sharing percentage. You know, this goes deeper. You can also look at the economic system which also influence. There's no way that you can divorce Eskom electricity from mining. We look at the mining companies. Check to what extent, how much coals do we have in South Africa? And who is owning the bulk of these coals? If the BEE will, or the simple BEE, would be the middleman buying from the private company and supplying Eskom, as my honorable member was also, that would be a priority. Why not direct from that mining? Why these PEE partners are not partnering with the mining company and supply us directly? Okay. So, but I'm happy because we have reflected that indeed we will be having a, we are going to create a platform where we'll be able to engage in a form of a workshop. I'm welcoming this presentation and looking forward to the workshop. Thank you very much.
I'm going to allow Honorable Masango. I'm only going to ask one question, of course, looking at the time and your different response. Honorable members,
thanks, Chair. It's just a question that I meant to ask, and I forgot to ask it. And it has to do with the remuneration review of board of directors of boards that was, I think, finalized in 2013 or something. Just some update and progress on that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Mine will be short. I think I'm covered by most of the questions. I think my what I want to know is the Presidential Review Committee, the report, the recommendations report, the recommendation report. It's part of the new strategy. That's what I want to know. And, the other ones. I will ask the request to the Minister on this report.
Yes. Just a matter of fact, thank you, Honourable Members. I just wanted to say I'm not sure who's more patient between myself and committee, but I must say I'm excited. I look forward to the winter school. I've been in the department for 8 years, and for 8 years, the only thing I've been working with the department and through government and state-owned companies is to look at the landscape for state-owned companies. So I welcome this engagement and I look forward to it. I wanted to say to Honorable Sparko, I just woke up with Macy, so I understand that he was like, what I'm going to do, I think it is a critical point that I would like Brenna to go through and answer some of the questions, especially those relating to the war room, because I think it's a very important part that members, they are interacting with through the media, but we have not spoken to. So I think just to go through the definition of the strategy, the 3 points, and then the war room issues, and obviously other issues around the coal, the relationship of between Eskom and coal. And then Colin is our head of coal. I would also just give the members a feel of how are we working with Eskom now to maintain communication around load shedding, because Honourable Member is Masango spot on. Sometimes it's just not what you communicate, it's how you put it out there. And I think I would just come in to the principal issues that I feel that I have just been stretched at the back, I used to talk around, and then the rest of the committee welcomes it. And I think as we go through the June program, it would be good because we will also be sharing with you what we are planning in terms of the bill and to take to Kenneth in terms of the landscape here.
Thanks, Dizzy. I'm just going to respond to the 3 areas that the members of the select committee have raised. On the strategy, I think on our side it was very clear that we needed to work within the current MTFF period, and that the changes that we are bringing as a department needed to take effect and make sure that the outcomes that are outlined in the medium term strategy framework are realized. And one principle that we also used was the fact that the performance of the economy was likely to remain sluggish, and private sector investment was going to be very weak for the period up to 2019. And we needed to make sure that the repositioning of the state-owned companies was going to help us to start redirecting the economy and making sure that we start reigniting the economic activities in the critical sectors of the economy. So for the first 12 months from April until next year, March, I think what is going to be key for us is to make sure that we stabilize the leadership and the financial position of the state-owned companies. Already, I think the minister has taken very clear actions around making sure that the challenges around leadership within ESCOM and other state-owned companies are addressed. And we've seen the positive response, not only in terms of the performance of the state-owned companies, but also the response to the market in terms of the prices that, for instance, ESCOM pays for their bond. It's also showing that people are having confidence in the actions that they're taking, undertaken by the department. But also to make sure that once we stabilize the current situation, we then begin to position our companies in such a way that they can be able to aggressively move towards advancing the developmental mandate. And in our department, we really believe that state-owned companies cannot be able to advance the aspirations of the developmental state. Therefore, in the next 12 months that will begin in the 2016-17 financial year, we'll be making sure that our state-owned companies are leading in advancing the developmental mandate, making sure that we deliver on infrastructure that is needed by the economy, that we begin to expand the capacity of the infrastructure network, and making sure that the infrastructure needs of the economy are taken care of and can begin to see the change in the performance of the productive sectors of the economy, in particular the manufacturing sector, that is very important for the reindustrialization of the South African economy. And the latter part of the strategy is to really making sure that we solidify and make sure that progress that we've made over the past 36 months is consolidated, that we have a portfolio that is really not dependent on government support, but it supports government to advance its objectives. So that's what that's how we've conceptualized the strategy, and making sure that we can be able to report significant progress by the end of the current MPFF period. On the five-point plan, I think what's very clear is that the supply of electricity is absolutely essential for the economy, and that supply needs to be reliable and affordable so that the competitiveness of the economy is enhanced and we don't jeopardize the performance, particularly of manufacturing as well as the mining sector. And the five-point plan is really based on the need that we need to make sure that we turn around the performance of the plans for ESCOM, making sure that arrest the further deterioration in the plant performance, and also begin to lay the important foundation that will make sure that in the future we have enough electricity that we need to advance the economy. So the first point then is focuses around the short-term measures, which is really fixing the maintenance practices within ESCOM and making sure that we address the significant breakdowns that are really affecting the supply of electricity. What we have seen on our side is that, in fact, we have enough installed capacity. The major problem is that that installed capacity is not available when we need it as a result of breakdowns. So the execution of the maintenance plan for ESCOM is absolutely essential to make sure that that capacity is brought on stream and is available to supply the electricity that is required for the economy. So that's the first part. The second part is around looking at other generation opportunity that we can explore in the short term as we build capacity through the new build program. That looks at the core generation I think the department has already given that direction to ESCOM to renew the contract, so they're able to secure around about just over 800 megawatts of electricity, which helps really to stabilize the electricity supply system in the short term. And that work, I think, is progressing. Further to that, there is a work that is led by the Department of Energy around the coal IPP. The RFP for the coal IPP was issued in December, and the department also extended the period for the RFP. I think it was ending in June. They've added two additional months to it. I think that work is also going to be important, attract present investment into the generation of electricity. And that particular program is planning to add about 1,800 megawatts. The third part looks at the gas opportunities that exist within the SADC region, and what can we do as the South African economy to tap into those particular opportunities. So that's the third part. The fourth part is, the fifth part looks at reducing demand and making sure that we improve the efficiencies around the use of electricity. And there are a number of programs that are being undertaken by ESCOM. I think the last time we checked, those programs have been able to save about 400, I think just over 400 megawatts. So that's the issues around the 5-point plan. On the coal supply, I think there are three critical areas in that area. The first one is really dealing with the coal quality. ESCOM is already engaging the regulator as well as undertaking some investments that will address the issue of coal quality. And coal quality is really affecting two plants, which is Tutura and Matla. And we really believe that the investments that are going to be undertaken by ESCOM will be able to address the challenges that are coming as a result of coal quality. The second part is around the transformation and the need to use and leverage state-owned companies to be able to effect changes in the structure of the economy and making sure that we expand opportunities for those that were previously disadvantaged. And the 51% requirement is addressing that particular issue. But we also know that there are some challenges in terms of some of the companies meeting the 51% requirement. But I think going forward, something that shouldn't change. We need to make sure that we enhance these requirements so that we can be able to achieve transformation of the mining sector or the suppliers to the state-owned companies. And also on our side, we believe that with the number of contracts coming to an end in 2017-2018, there's an opportunity to renegotiate some of these contracts to make sure that ESCOM is able to have a consistent supply of coal at a better quality, but also at a better price. And also that will also be supported by some of the regulations that need to come through from the Department of Mineral Resources around designating coal as a strategic resource. That should support the development of the South African economy.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I just want to, in terms of our communication, I just want to agree our communication and essence of communication can improve, and there's always room for improvement. One of the biggest challenges we have in the country as far as load setting is concerned and communication on that issue is that 40% of the households in South Africa are getting direct supply from them, and the other 6% through the networks and the municipality. And I know the Department of Communications and the local government communications is working on a plan to ensure communication is improved between ESCOM and the metros and municipalities. And I know Calga is involved in that, and as soon as it is streamlined, I'm sure we can come and communicate more effectively. But as I say, it can always improve. And I think a moment ESCOM has introduced in this winter time, autumn and winter time, a system where they, in the morning ESCOM issues a media alert saying what ESCOM expects in the day, is it this medium or is it high? Like the forecast for the day, in the morning it's medium, they often would be high. So they often Eskom also this is a statement saying if there is load shedding or not. But as I indicated earlier, it is something we can improve. And the problem of communication is heading in Mistus with Salga and the electoral stream to improve communication. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think there were a lot of questions, but I just wanted to cover the principles. And I think, Chair, also, what we normally do in the department is that we take a comprehensive note, and then what we will do, we do a Q&A of questions that we ask, and then the responses that we will do, and then we will send them through to Khalid, and then send them to the two members as well. It helps us for because that is also helping since that we are able to make sure that everything has been covered. I think the principal issue that I wanted to talk to around the issues that were raised around privatization, and I wanted to say, I think it's all time, yes, we had this debate. And I think I say this because having been part of an office that was created to privatize, we always understood that the mandate we looked to do was for privatization. But we now sitting back, we're looking and saying, you don't want to throw the baby with the bathwater. Where we privatized for and how we made. And what is the problem that we're trying to solve? Because the issues that we want to solve in Eskom are the structural, are the financial, are the operational relating to efficiency. Because we needed to address those. We believe as a department, though, that state-owned companies exist alongside private sector companies through a complementary relationship. We developed what we call the private sector participation framework. We tested that framework through DINEL. The state still owns 100% of DINEL. But DINEL has various capabilities where we've brought in private sector, where we've brought in strategic equity partners. And with those strategic equity partners, so if you look at your aviation land systems and aerostructures, we were able to assist the company to ensure that there's capabilities, there's efficiencies, there's skills, there's turnaround, and they also access markets without the state losing its ownership. So there are models that we've tested in this portfolio, and we think we can start looking around Eskom. What has been hearing as well, and yes, listing or doing an IPO through the stock exchange is also an option. But also, I now wearing my head as a commercial lawyer is, if I'm going to be negotiating at that point, what is my leverage? We don't have any now because the company is high geared. We are not able to keep the light on, and Minister has indicated that we will have a chain for quite a number of times, for short of 3 years. So we may find that at the time when we consider listing, we don't have leverage that could give us, because we will be subjected to the market conditions, to the rules of the JSE. But here's the discussion that we can have. So I think we need to take base steps in each and every problem that we want to resolve. The issues are generating capacity within Eskom. There are options that we can look into. But I welcome the debate, and I welcome because I think we needed to have this discussion. But private sector participation is definitely there in our pipeline. We already have a framework. We shared it with the National Treasury. We're working in terms of saying we can use this, even around SAFCOR. How do you use this private sector participation framework? So, Chair, I thought that was one of the principal issues that I think we need to welcome from the committee. Issues of the board appointment and the methodology. We developed the DPE detailed board appointment process. We look at really four things. We look at the tenure of the board. And then we look at the skills that we need for the board because we need to make them against management. Then we look at the demographics. Because we believe that our choices are big choices, and they are not only based in Gauteng. So you need to have demographics that looks at the whole South Africa. Then we look at issues of conflict or potential conflict of interest and all of those delegations. And for that, we actually set a minimum. We set actually a maximum for our board appointments is 4. If you set even 4 boards, that's it. But if you set even more than that, we consider that they cannot be appointed. But we also look at the size of the entities. Where one is sitting, because we believe that board members are not able to give time to do operations of the entities. Then the issues that relate to the remuneration, we finished the process. As a matter of fact, on our way here, we're checking with the deputy minister because it's on into that which is in cabinet as well. But we believe that the revised standards also make sure that we balance. We don't want it to penalize people working in the public sector or public sector. But also, you need to understand they don't company, they compete for skills alongside the private sector. If we want best, we must be able to. But also, we want people to understand that taking over public service as well, it's giving back to the community. So we balance that. We don't want to be seen as if we're holding those people who work for state-owned companies. So the guidelines are looking at incentives, are looking at remuneration, are looking at retention, but are also looking at issues of a staggered payment of those incentives. And then the other issues around staff calls, we will put in the details in the post that we'll put, but safe to say that 63% of staff call land or where the staff call operate is under land claims. We are engaging with the Department of Land and Rural Development. They are working on the land claim settlement model. They've tested with the your subbies and other private sector companies. The challenge is we always say we need a competitive neutrality principle because we always feel sometimes that when it comes to state-owned companies, you find that the model is slightly different. But we are working with our colleagues at the land and rural development. I think here those were the cracks. The rest of the others we will put really into the brief. And I think on the issues of the ACV, we still have to come back now on the unpacking of the ACV. Because what we're doing is that the units are now, they've taken the strategy in the APP, they are now working on their own operational plans in terms of how exactly they're going to be driven as the energy unit, as the transport unit, as the strategic partnerships, and then we'll come back in terms of operationalization. Thank you. Yes, we will write in detail.
Thank you very much. Are you satisfied, members, that the DG will come back with other questions in responding in writing? Eh? Okay, thank you. The one question that I want to ask is this thing about, you know, my granddaughter came to me asking me, she's 13 years. The teacher told them in school that the reason why we have this crisis in Eskom, according to them, is because we are sending out our coal to, we are exporting all our coal to other countries. And I was very much upset about it. I still want your department, Khalid, to write a detailed thing on what is the cause of this. Because according to me, I was so cross because the mind of the children is easy to, you know, to influence and think the other way. Because I was, you know, older people know me, you have that thing of me. They know me, I go to my state and go to the school and go and take the teachers. Yeah, they know me. But then I was rude and said, I must now have it. I was saying to her, what is this? And I explained to her, but that is what the teacher is saying in school to our children. They really must information thing. I don't know whether he knows it. I wanted to send him a letter to say, I think you must go and damage your kids, you know, because I don't know where he wants his information. Thank you.
Yeah, we will write on it because we do export coal and Brenna spoke to the use of coal quality and all of that. So we will write on that because that is a common question. That and the fact that we also are supplying electricity to our neighboring countries. That always comes. So we will contextualize that because the agreements that we have, especially on exporting of electricity, allow us for the interaction where we are constrained. But I think on the whole, we will write because it's a detailed thing as well that even we're sitting with more than 200 years of coal reserves in South Africa. That's why the issue of BEE and transforming the coal industry, it is important because really you can transform. We have, but we need to put structure and policies that are right in place, but we will write it.
I'm looking forward for the writing because I want to take it to the school because it wasn't only my daughter, it was the whole class. Thank you. I want to educate him.
Thank you, Chair. May I indulge and ask
I can just add three other questions to the things, the questions that come from answers in writing. Thank you, Chair. The first one is that in the budget, and Sharon, you said that there's a strengthening role in the oversight that the department is going to play on the trade owner government companies. How are you going to do it? What is the model? And then linked to that is that the department also play, or the minister plays a role in the board and that. What is the consequences if the department, say for instance, is giving guidance on the risks and on the areas of concern from the department side, and these boards of the second companies don't take that into consideration? What is the consequence of that? And then the last one is completely different, but it's also that the department ensures that all state-owned companies, and they also have to do so, have to comply to environmental laws, but specifically with the reference to the reduction in the carbon emissions and the contribution to green economy, the department's role in that, and how they're going to make sure and do the oversight and ensure that that is part of the state-owned companies functions, and how are they going to fulfill that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If there is no other questions or anything someone to raise. Honorable Safaku, very sure. I'm calling you the history people. You always ask the history before you ask the question. Thank you.
No, thank you. Let me just say, be as short as a Kareza. but be able to cover all the subjects. Don't ask me what subject. Keep the list of all the entities in a row. If you can also catch up on that.
Thank you very much for your time. Okay, do you want to respond to that one? Okay, you are going to get your answer in the writing. Thank you very much to the department. We look forward to the workshop to get more information. But like I'm saying, I'm working on the writing for a month. I want to go there and correct it. Lunch is outside. You will come to the members, can you say the line? We must adopt minutes for you. Last week, Minister, can we get a proposal for the adoption of the minutes of last week? The 13th? Thank you, ladies.
No.
Amendment, Honourable Chairperson. Yes. Chairperson, I also want to please ask that we do not get our minutes just when we walk in. Yes. So give us a chance to at least read through it, please. No, they don't get it. No. No, I got mine here on the table.
Yeah, but can I just explain? I don't know. We were going to do that one, but
no.
We got it electronically. Yeah.
No. Okay.
And so that's why
it's not. Honourable Chairperson, I just want to say that I'm not from the Northern Cape.
Okay.
I'm rather from La Popa. And as far as I can remember, I wasn't here. I gave apology for that. So maybe I was in the Northern Cape.
Just for the amendment, can I have a proposal in the proposal? The faculty and you, thank you very much for it. Have a nice day.